I know one topic that he's talked about is the Evanston reparations. And I know this gets people riled up in both ways, both directions. Some people think it's genius the way Evanston has handled this. Some people feel differently. And I just wanted to talk with the person, one of the people, who has really shepherded this through. And this is Alderman Robin Ruth Simmons. And she's part leader of this effort. And Alderman, thanks for joining us here today.
Thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be here with you.
Yeah, first of all, I just got to get this out of the way. It's like Chicago. We say aldermen even for women, right? Like, I'm not saying that incorrectly, am I?
That is correct, yes.
Okay, we got to change that. That's all I got to say about that. All right, let's move on here. So the reparations in Evanston, can you, first of all, what I love about the piece that was in the Chicago Sun-Times over the weekend is it really told your story, and I think that you're a perfect example of someone who went through similar or some aspects of this, what was happening in Evanston, and then can be part of that change. When you talk about housing discriminations that African Americans have faced in Evanston, talk us through what that actually looked like in the era in which it was taking place.
Absolutely. So the era in which our case for local reparations are established are a period between 1919 and 1969. It's when we had anti-black housing and zoning policies that we enforced that restricted the black community to live in the west end of the Fifth Ward. It's where I was born and raised. It's where I currently serve and have raised my family. And the problem there was that not only were we restricted and limited to enjoying the same quality of life and livability as our white friends and neighbors, but then that same area was intentionally disinvested in. We were stripped of important community amenities, other assets, environmental injustices as well we deal with, and today they continue. So although we outlawed those anti-black housing practices and fair housing has been passed and enforced, and redlining, of course, has been outlawed, the conditions and the consequences of that historic wrong continue today with a very segregated community. So in Evanston, we're known for our beautiful diversity, but still we are absolutely a segregated community. We are racially segregated, and with that racial segregation comes a divide in wealth and homeownership rates and economic opportunity and education gaps and so on, because we have not made right and reckoned with our historic wrongs in the past. So we have advanced a reparation initiative that it is appropriate for our city. It's Evanston specific.
Right.
We are acknowledging the wrongs in Evanston, and we are enforcing and applying reparations within our purview. So we're acknowledging that because of Evanstonian, black Evanstonians being American in this nation, there are accomplices that include institutions and, of course, the federal government that have a role and a responsibility to repair and reparative justice. But we're taking our first tangible step in Evanston towards reparations.
Yeah. I want to back up just a little bit because I think it helps put this into context. Because if people weren't alive from 1919 to 1969 or maybe had no idea what was happening, when you say unfair housing practices, are we talking about things that were written into the law that was codified about where
Absolutely.
People could live? Or is it, so you're saying that, and was it also, you know, things that weren't necessarily on the books but just happened with real estate agents? I mean, walk us through a little bit what we're talking about here.
Absolutely. So what makes this reparation and gives us a case to do this work is that these were laws on the book, codified policy enforced. This was legislative actions that were taken. This was not just a racist culture or anti-blackness generally. This was specific and measurable by the city of Illinois and the municipal government. So what that looks like is a limitation or restriction of where black families could live. That, of course, dictated, you know, how we could enjoy the city, how
yeah.
we can access education, how we can access wealth through home ownership. So we had, at a time, black families own homes that were east of our ward, closer to Ridge Avenue. And these laws and zoning restrictions required our homes to physically be relocated from east of the city to the west end of the Fifth Ward. And, of course, along with that goes a loss of wealth through land value, because the land value is less here. So although those things have been outlawed, the consequences continue today. A $46,000 household income divide between black and white Evanston, 13 years life expectancy difference, an achievement gap, an opportunity divide. We don't have access to the same marketplace still today. So it was important that we advance something that was a reparative, something above and beyond equity, which is what we should be doing as part of good government and ordinary public policy. We should not continue the same inequitable policies and practices, but we need to do something above that, reparations specifically targeting repair to a community that had been injured from egregious acts from a city government. And so though that is our historic past, I'm really proud of our city for taking these steps towards repair, very much in the early stages. This is only 4% of our program of $10 million. And I'm even more proud of the buy-in from the majority of our city that has begun to increase the fund of $10 million by contributing. We have churches and a synagogue and businesses and private residents and family foundations that have begun to contribute to the reparations fund so that we can build on the great work that the city of Evanston has established.
Because the way that these reparations are distributed, it's to people that were targeted specifically by the laws we're talking to for, but also other people as well. And it's through, I mean, what I like about it, what it seems to make sense about it, is this is specifically geared towards the discriminatory housing practices, and it's reparations that go directly into housing. This isn't a check that is given out necessarily. It's directly attributed to what the fault was 55, 60, 70 years ago.
And that's what makes it reparations, that this is not, we are not responsible for the crimes against humanity in the United States that we know as chattel enslavement. We don't have that history here. We do, however, have a history of racist housing practices, and that's what our reparations is focused on. So the $25,000 direct benefit will go to the home of either the injured party or their direct descendant. So I would qualify through my parents and grandparents that were Evanstonians to build wealth or reestablish wealth through housing, whether it be accessing home ownership or sustaining or buying in or building up equity in an existing home. $25,000 or $50,000 per household that's qualified of housing equity is wealth that can be used for seniors to age in place. It can be used to access the equity for education or business or build on the equity that you have in your home to pass down as a legacy to your family. So it is not H.R. 40. It is not a chattel slavery reparations. This is Evanston reparations. We are responsible for egregious acts of anti-black housing practices, and this is our first step in righting that wrong.
What if someone said to you, look, that these practices have came off the books, what now, 52, 53 years ago? There's been chances for upward mobility for people since then to move neighborhoods, to even things out another way. What would you say to someone who holds that belief?
I would say that they're very short-sighted. So although those laws have been outlawed, we still have not been able to access education and opportunity to build wealth otherwise. Those barriers have not allowed us to move outside of the Fifth Ward, where we have the housing stock that is naturally occurring for affordable. So we don't have the wealth due to anti-black practices to choose to live, let's say, on Sheridan Road with a private beach like some of our white friends and neighbors are able to. We have had systemic and long-term various acts of oppression against the black community that have continued to compound and keep us from enjoying the same livability as our white friends and neighbors here in Evanston. And I'm just speaking about Evanston. So I would say that response is short-sighted, that it is not the whole story. And the whole story is that we have been anti-black historically in this nation. In Evanston, we've done it. Historically, we have it documented on our books. We've made amends and we've apologized, and we're working towards reckoning and reconciling that with reparations that will bring repair and redress for housing practices in Evanston.
Alderman, they say, I just got a text about this, and I was going to, it was kind of leads me to my next question, is that, yes, a lot of people are contributing to grow past the $10 million, but the $10 million or the initial down payment, whatever you want to determine it is, if it's taxpayer dollars, a texter says, it seems that reparation funds are coming from taxpayers, and those people may not have been the people that created any of the wrongs. Is it a punishment to the taxpayers for works done or wrongs done by previous generations?
So it is not a punishment. This is a responsibility of the city of Evanston. These actions were enforced by the city of Evanston, and this is what we value here. So by way of your residency here, the consensus of residents value inclusion and equity. We're welcoming, and now we are committed to reparations, and that is a commitment that extends into our government, our policy, all our practices, and now even our budget with a restricted reparation fund.
Do you anticipate or at least hope that maybe other municipalities, obviously they can do what they want, because someone texted in, well, I think they said I'm Polish, and you, in some parts of my area, you couldn't buy a house if you were Polish in certain areas. And look, of course, other groups have been discriminated against. I'm gay. LGBT laws still are on the books about renting to gay people, and there are rules there. Do you think that this could be a framework for other people who have legitimate gripes against what governments have done to their group of people to have a plan forward to reach that sort of apologize and make good for it?
Absolutely. So right now, you know, my priority is reparations for the Black community. I stand in solidarity with my other, you know, cultural groups and other disenfranchised groups and support them in their initiatives and will advocate. But this is specific to the Black community. We have a history unlike any other. Our people were kidnapped from the continent of Africa, bought here, enslaved, tortured, Jim Crow, redlined, you know, over-policed, and so on. We experienced all forms of racial terror. So this is specific to the Black community, but it is a legislative tool that can be used, as we know. It was used for Japanese internment community. It's been used for other communities as well. So this wouldn't limit this tool only to the Black community. But this is the focus, and this is our initial commitment here in Evanston. I do hope that we have inspired other groups of people, other communities and institutions to begin to do the work appropriate for their history.
We have a text saying, oh, now people are going to flee Evanston. Have you been feeling positive vibes mostly from people? I can't imagine a mass exodus out of Evanston because of a $10 million fund for this.
They're absolutely incorrect. The amount of residents that have moved away that want to return home, the amount of non-Evanstonians from across the nation that have said, I'm moving to Evanston because you've made this commitment, it is absolutely the opposite. Our city has overwhelmingly been proud to do this work. The nation has applauded us, and folks want to move to Evanston because we want to do this work. They want to buy cannabis in Evanston because we have committed to doing this work. So that's not been the feedback that we've received.
Someone wanted me to ask you, and this is for my own clarity too, was there a community-wide vote to move forward with it, or was it all done through the council?
Yeah, so I've heard that recently. I've heard that, and, you know, with a quick Google search, you'll see that this work began in 2019. I made the introduction in February. The community led the work in 2019. The community and a subcommittee, you know, we led the work together. Stakeholders, Black residents showed up. There's a really nice article and roundtable from the summer of 2019 that details that work. This was not a top-down approach. This was community-led. So those leaders that are saying it was a top-down approach were the very leaders that were absent from the process until a week or two before the vote. So there was plenty of time for participation and more than 15 public meetings before we even passed the initial vote in November of 2019. And after that, there's been dozens of various meetings between committee meetings and town halls and ward meetings and council meetings for folks to participate. So we're excited now that although it took national attention for some local community members to pay attention and believe that we were doing this work, that they believe it now and they see that the fund is set aside, and we hope that they will contribute their valued opinions and ideas at the right form, and not in media or on social sites, but at the committee meeting, at the dais, so that those ideas can be incorporated and we can move forward together as much as we can, united in one voice.
I know I got to take a break. I have one last question here for you. Does the word reparations make it a lightning rod for people that just have an objection to that word? Other people moving forward, or are you proud that that's the word used and that it should be used?
I'm proud, and it is the appropriate word. And so, but yes to your question, when I made this introduction, some of the immediate feedback was like, absolutely, yes, I support it 100%. Can we call it anything but reparations? And to that, I pause only for a second to think, okay, maybe we can, but we cannot. If it is reparative in nature, if we are reckoning and righting a wrong, if we are looking to redress the acts that we acknowledge and enforce here in this city, that it, in fact, is reparations, that we have followed the model. We have had a community process to lead us to our first remedy proposal in housing. We have acknowledged our wrongs. We've made a commitment. We've put aside funding so that we can actually have tangible outcomes and not just another ceremonial proclamation. So it is appropriate that it's reparations. I'm proud that we've called it such because that's what it is. It's justice. It's overdue. And we are on our way in Evanston.
Alderman Robin Ruth Simmons, thanks so much for giving us some time today. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Interesting stuff. A lot of calls and texts. We'll see if we can get to a few of those after this break on WGN.